We welcome in Gary Pearson with the Chamber. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Really good.
You got a pair of those alligator snakeskin boots?
You know, I've got mostly worn out old cowboy boots, you know, from back in the day.
There you go. Let's talk some events. Let's just get a kind of a overview of some big things going on in our community. Yeah. You're always a good one to bring in for that. And obviously one that I think gained a little bit of maybe public view because the sign went up not that long ago, yeah. And there's been some talk about it, is the Hershey Rail Park.
Yes. Yeah. Happy to report that, you know, we're making really good progress out there. This is a different concept. This is a long-term strategy type thing that we're getting in place, and it's very, very complicated to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, but really coming together nicely. In fact, we had the Department of Economic Development monitoring compliance team out here this week.
Okay.
And so spend a day and a night with them, and they have to do their due diligence once a year, you know, for annual reporting. And we have to put a big annual report together on all the things that we've done. But they were very, very pleased at the progress they heard, the people they met. The uniqueness of this is, you know, we started down this path because of the rail access restriction, basically because we're home to Bailey Yard, a wonderful asset to the community. You know, Union Pacific's one of their claims of fame, and really the economy of the United States all filters through Bailey Yard. It gets repurposed, resorted, but because of all the congestion coming out in there, it was very difficult, if not impossible, for the Union Pacific to be able to allow additional industry in Lincoln County to access the mainline rail, unless you were grandfathered in, like grain elevators, you know, that we see throughout the county. So we started down that path, understanding the frustration of our ability to try to recruit new industry in here that needed rail access. And Union Pacific's been absolutely fabulous to work with in opening that door. We pinpointed that probably the only place that we could make this happen was over by Hershey because of the former Greenbrier Rail Services there that UP allowed, because they were a customer a subcontractor, basically providing wheel fabrication and repair for UP rail cars. And so we actually started working with UP and Greenbrier and identifying that location and identifying parcels in the general area. And Dennis Steffes, who had sold the property to Greenbrier, was phenomenal to work with. He's very community-minded. He wanted to do it for Lincoln County and for the local economy. And so we were able to work a deal with him. We were able to work a deal with the R.B. Miller company or family to buy one of their parcels as well. So we secured 300 acres, and then we worked 3 years through the legislative process, first with Senator Groney and then Senator Jacobson to get some state funding that we could use match dollars generated locally to help finance the things. And then you got to go through all the processes. We've been through the annexation and the blight determination with the Village of Hershey. Village of Hershey's been, their leadership over there is just great to work with, and totally in for the team aspect of it. And so we've gone through all those processes. And then, of course, the county created the Inland Port Authority. And mm-hmm. that's where a lot of the confusion comes in, because people don't understand the two different concepts. The rail park itself is owned by the Chamber and Development Corporation. We're the ones that are developing it. We're the ones that are recruiting the new business entities that will go out there. The Inland Port Authority is going to act as the conduit to be able to transload cargo in and out of there, and eventually have the ability to do customs and those kind of things. But those things are very complicated. They're very time consuming. And so we're working through all those nuances and process, and our rail park committee, our board of directors, and the Inland Port Authority members, a lot of talent, people there, and dedicated to make this thing happen. And the state was really impressed with everything they heard and saw. And so, long story short, the two immediate things we're going to say, we're in the process of signing a contract with the group, the GRIT group, who has a 30-year contract with Central Irrigation Public Power District on the dredging of the sand and gravel coming out of their canal system. Okay. And it's all stockpiled here in North Platte. So they've these two guys that started this company have 10, 15 years experience dealing with sand and gravel throughout the United States, and they have a lot of contacts. So what they're going to do is take the sand, process it, and then create what needs to be created for their customer base. Everybody needs a little different type of soil texture or sand texture and so forth. Some of it will be bagged for other customers, but when they're right now, the only thing they're left that they're waiting on is a permit from the Department of Environmental Energy and Environment and from the state of Nebraska to get permitted to do this sand processing. Then they will start moving that out of the rail park. We're going to operate temporarily for a transload area at the former Greenbriers place. I'm going to stop calling it that. I'm going to start calling it the Inland Port Authority headquarters, because Lincoln County actually owns that facility, and they're the ones that created the Inland Port. Been a wonderful partner in this thing, as had the city of North Platte. But we'll be able to transload them out of there until we get a drop and pull yard and a permanent transload area developed. So we have a big meeting coming up, July 28th, Inland Port Authority board meeting, and we're going to be in communication via television or video conferencing with our rail park consultant, Paul Hinschke, and Darren Wisniewski with the Union Pacific Railroad. He's part of their industrial development division, been wonderful to work with. And then we'll understand what the timeline. Paul has been designing this. We'll put the first phase of this in. We'll have two lines that parallel the Union Pacific Railroad and a third bed built, but we'll eventually have seven lines there.
Oh, wow.
For our customer base. And so that will be able to allow customers out there, as well as permanent businesses out there, to access the rail, loading and unloading. And this grit group has previous experience doing that too. So we may wind up having them be the third party operator out of there. It'd save us a lot of money in doing that. Because they would just charge on a per customer basis. So all of that's in play. All of that should come together in this year, 2025. We should have the drop and pull yard constructed by 2026. And then we're working with a California manufacturing company that's in the final stages of either we're going to pull the trigger and do this project, or we're not. But this is a guy that we worked with years ago when we were chasing a cage-free egg facility for Lincoln County. He really loved the people he met here and the great chemistry and camaraderie he saw in North Platte. And he says, if I ever get a chance to do that project, didn't work out, wound up going to Iowa. But he says, if I ever get a chance to bring another project to North Platte, I'm going to do it. So that's a long-term relationship we've had with him. They're about ready to approve that. And then we'd have a manufacturing facility out there. We'll build a 125,000 square foot facility. And we'll put that on the far west end of the property and build another track out to serve that. But we'll have several more lots there that we can serve other companies coming in there also. So those things are all in the works. It's very time consuming. It's very, these things just don't happen overnight. Just like you and I were talking, people see the Sustainable Beef Project and say, boy, that thing just come up overnight. Well, it was 5 years,
right?
From start to the time it opened. But rail parks are long-term strategy. But there, people will see a lot of good things going on there this year. I'm really, really excited about it. It's going to add a whole another component to our diversification of our job base here. And the neat thing about a transload area is we've had all these companies, all these businesses in our region that's never been able to access rail. Well, now they're going to have it close proximity, because right now they're having to haul their products either to the Council Bluffs area, Kansas City, or Denver, to get the type of service that we'll have right at Hershey.
Very good.
So very exciting stuff.
It sounds to me like you're dealing with several local entities. You know, obviously the county's involved, your chamber, you got dealing with the city of Hershey, state's obviously heavily involved, and then with the inland port, I'm assuming there's federal red tape you're going through. So
eventually there will be. I mean, we're not dealing with the feds yet, okay. but yeah.
That might slow things down.
Yeah. One battle at a time, right. You know. And then, you know, the city of North Platte's big, great. They committed $2 million out of the Quality Growth Fund to help us have local revenue source to that helps us with state match funds. We have to qualify as we go along. And so every year I do the annual report, and they look at all the expenditures and say, yeah, you qualified for X amount more money. But now we're ready to start spending quite a bit of money. We bought all the land. And so we're working with Department of Roads, too, state of Nebraska. We have a commitment to put turning lanes out there as truck traffic comes up. And so that's another process we'll need to go through. It's all based on job creation, though. So we'll tie that to a specific project. And, you know, we announced a couple years back that we were pursuing a soybean crush plant. That's not off the table yet. Things are changing on the federal level to where that's looking more promising. And that's a worldwide thing that has different components, you know, affect the worldwide economy. That affects our ability to maybe do this. We're kind of on the very end of the edge of the world when it comes to soybean production. So that's been the hardest thing to overcome, to convince people we could have enough volume here to do the... But we have a handful of local producers that stepped up and did a feasibility study on the soybean crush plant, spent $250,000 getting that done. So we know it can work. It's just that it's a very capital-intensive project to be built. So we're still kicking the tires on that. And we were in the final stages. We actually had a contract signed with a company that's going to build 1 million square feet of warehouse space out there, both cold storage and dry storage. But we were, they were kind of banking on the fact that maybe, like sustainable beef, you know, would need the cold storage and the meat cutting and the shipping out of here. And so that's been shifted, you know, kind of away from here. So that kind of went into a holding pattern. But we know the key players there that we could always bring them back if we were able to get additional demand there. So it's just it's something we deal with every single day. Something's going on, and just a lot of people involved and a lot of sharp minds involved also. So. We'll get it all figured out in the end. And we have it's a 10-year program. So we have 10 years in which to get this completed, the money expended, and so forth. And as long as somebody doesn't screw it up along the way, you know, because they're always after dollars.
Sure.
So, but it's going to add a lot to Lincoln County and the North Platte region.
Gary Pearson, North Platte Chamber of Development, here with us. Well, probably the topic that you maybe don't like, I don't know, maybe you don't mind talking about it, but it seems to be the topic that a lot of people want to talk about is housing still.
Sure.
It's been maybe the topic of 2025 for our town.
Yeah, no, I'm more than happy to do that. I mean, obviously, we've worked really hard the last 5 years to recruit new developers in here. And believe this or not, we now have 19 approved different housing projects and subdivisions. We went through the Planning Commission, City Council, the Community Redevelopment Authority, got all those things approved. They were all battles. I mean, you always have a difference of opinion from your policymakers. And so we survived those projects on a 1-2 vote margin sometimes, but we got them all done. We never quit winning. And so you've got so many projects now that are coming forward that we're going to see a lot of housing. I mean, if you put all their master plans together, you have 2,400 new housing units here. You know, and when a community was building 10 or 20 a year for how many years,
Sure. You
know, that's a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another, you know, all these things have happened in the last 3 or 4 5 years, but we have built 600, 700 new housing units. You know, a lot of multifamily are shot in the arm program through the North Platte Chamber of Development. It produced 511 new housing units, single family, townhomes, upper floor housing downtown. We've celebrated a, you know, a ribbon cutting not very far from here.
Right.
You know, so it's for the upper floor, and then we have the multifamily, and we've done some rehab. And we see a lot of rehab going on in the community, too. So you're taking a lot of structures that have been there. Not, they've been vacant. They've been run down. They're deteriorated. And you got a lot of rehab going on. So all that's healthy for every neighborhood. Our Chamber Development Group has the Mulligan Meadows subdivision up by River's Edge. We want to do something for the north side. Put all new infrastructure in there. So those are selling as soon as they hit the ground and they get finished off. But we have a contract with Bonavilla. We took all the risk on the infrastructure, provided those lots at a very nominal cost, but with a guarantee that that comes off the sale price. And so it becomes very, very affordable. Three bedroom, two bath, two car garage, complete turnkey, all landscaping done, irrigation system put in, and people just love that. And they're buying those for right now. The price is right around $260,000. And that's pretty favorable in comparison to what we're seeing, you know, in the market right now. So you got to be creative. You got to just do kind of like a spider web approach. We now have a mobile home park, brand new, that's going to be developed. And Chief Industry Bonavilla is also involved in that. And they believe in doing things only the right way. They got a great reputation. And so that's going to add, you talk about affordable housing that can happen quickly.
Right.
That's certainly there, but you got to get all the infrastructure in. And of course, all this rain, and never complain about rain in our part of the country, right?
Right.
But boy, has it messed up construction season this year, especially with all these housing developments. You know, along East Phillip, you see all that dirt moving now. You know, that's a mega type of development. Their master plan out there has 800 new housing units.
Wow.
And so you got the Francis Street being extended. The city's made a tremendous commitment to that, as has this Midwest Development Group. And we're going to have another corridor going directly out to where connecting by where Golden Road is at Sustainable, and that'll be Francis Street being developed out there. And we're already working with some commercial business developments that as they see that mature, we'll be able to recruit them there because that'll be a prime location. So, I mean, it's just a hundred different things going on.
Hey, you're not busy at all.
Love it. You know, day and nights and weekends, I don't care. Well, let's just get after it. And this afternoon we have, and this evening we have public forums on the new comprehensive plan. That's our road plan for the next 5 years in the community, next 10 years, right, on how we're going to develop it and the strategies. And then we have the new housing study also being revealed. So I'd encourage the public. It's open to everybody, 2 to 3:30 this afternoon, South Campus, McDonald Belton Building, and then this evening from 6:30 to 8. So open to everyone. Really encourage people to find out about this. It's your chance for input and to weigh in on it. A lot of good work's been done for the last year and a half. But everybody needs a roadmap where they're going,
sure,
in the future.
Yeah.
And when you look at developments, you always hear when you go through the Planning Commission, they say, well, does this conform to the comprehensive plan? Because that's your master plan. If it doesn't, you have to amend it. So you want to have the strategy of developing it right. City staff has been great on this. Judy Clark, Brett Berklin especially, they deal with these issues all the time. And so a lot of good stuff went in there. Marvin Associates was a consultant on it. So that's going on this afternoon, tonight. From the chamber side of things, we have the Junior Ambassador Golf coming up Monday, Tuesday. We have our Adult Ambassador Classic coming up August 7th, 8th, and 9th. We're helping the federal government, Congressman Smith, dedicate the federal building over here.
There you go.
In Bird's Eye View to Virginia Smith.
We're going
to
need you in like every week.
Yeah, it's just crazy stuff. I also want to encourage people to come to our annual meeting October 1st. We're having legendary coach John Cook.
That's right.
Yeah, October 1. Put it on your calendars. That's going to be special. He's going to give his talk on Dream Like a Champion. And so we're going to theme it around Cowboy Up with Coach Cook. You know, he's kind of a born again, latecomer cowboy.
That's right.
You know, so we're going to address Western and show him North Platte hospitality and just do it upright and a little Nebraska Land Days flavor in it. And so a lot of cool stuff going on.
Very good. Well, thank you for all the time. We'll have you in again soon, Gary Pearson with the Chamber of Development. And enjoy. You got a couple big meetings tonight, so enjoy those and have a great rest of your week, all right?
Thank you, Tanner.